Withermer had put all his eggs in his piano virtuoso career, as I have to call it. I hadn't put any eggs in such a piano virtuoso career. That was the difference. For that reason, he was fatally wounded by Glenn Goldberg's bars, not I.
It's like I was only pretending to care. I didn't actually care, man. Oh,
That's
man. But
that's kind of like the feeling behind that, right?
Wertheimer, though. Oh no, he got the stroll. It's like Jesus. Damn, some best friend, huh?
That's kind of like when you're like, when you're asking a teacher or an older person or a parent, you're like, oh, my friend has this problem, but in reality, you're talking about yourself. I mean, maybe not. And I wouldn't say that's exact one to one between the narrator, who I don't think he is named right, and Werthermer.
No, I think definitely you can there. I looked into the history of Mr. Thomas Bernard, author of The Loser, subject of today's Spotter Pod, by the way.
We.
If you couldn't tell, if you couldn't read, which if you couldn't, then I'm sorry. Yeah, well, we don't
Yeah,
have
some people are blind.
Hey, but you know what? If you're blind, you can still listen to me, Ophi, and the dulcet tones of one J Excellence.
Oh God, my phone turned off. My Goldberg's bars, one might say.
Your Goldberg variations.
My variation on the jackhammer and spear combination.
Your variations on destroying up and coming talent.
And kicking Bret Hart's head into the eighth row.
What a legacy.
But hey, folks, enough of us rambling on. Welcome to the Spotter Pod. As always, it's Jeffrey Excellence and not J Money, because I am
Oh,
not gonna roll with that.
shame.
I think that one's a little too that's a little too
Let's
simple. It's too
J
easy.
Money, an avid coin collector. We got J Money. He already exists.
See? See? But with me, as always, my numero uno partner in crime,
Oh,
the
yeah, it
big
is.
kahuna, the big O, the sometimes bald, but sometimes afro, and sometimes on his toes, aka Twinkle Toes, it's Ophi.
Yeah, no,
Yeah, you like that?
I just want like a giant string of AKAs. That's what I want. And like half of them like are shit you made up right then and there. Like no one's
Right
ever
on the
told me that.
spot. I'll have to think about that one next time.
Maybe,
Yeah, folks, we've
perhaps.
had a quite the distance between our last pod, King Kong versus Godzilla, and this one covering the loser, because I took forever to read this book, so that's
Yep.
my bad,
No,
folks.
it's fine. It took me a while too. This is I mean, anytime we do a novel, which this would be our, I want to say, fourth.
I think that's right.
So, yeah, I think so.
Because
We did.
Jurassic Park, Man at
Oh no,
Sea.
I think sixth then, because we did. Yeah, Man at Sea, Jurassic Park, Godot, Siddhartha,
Siddhartha.
and this.
So that'd be five. Wait,
Did I say
so go
six?
again? Yeah, you said
Okay.
six. So you mean
So
five.
Godot was our first, yeah, fifth. This should be our fifth. Godot, Jurassic Park, Siddhartha, Man in the Sea, and this.
Yeah, that's five.
Pretty sure, unless there was another one which I forgot about. Who knows? We've been doing this
No,
for a while.
I don't think there has been. I think five is right.
That sounds about right compared to our 80 episodes that are movies.
Right. So if you're new to this podcast, we're essentially a multimedia discussion cast. Cover everything from, like Ophi mentioned earlier, books to movies as recent as King Kong versus Godzilla, video games, TV shows, anime, professional wrestling, brother. And the like. Any lingering thoughts on last time's episode or spot?
No, it's pretty good. Just go watch it if you haven't already.
I think we both agreed it was a decent monster movie action flick, right?
Yeah, I think I personally might prefer King of the Monsters, maybe, just because I
I
love
think,
Ghidorah so
you know,
much.
King of the Monsters is a pretty badass movie.
That one is
Like,
just like
I think the humans are kind of
raw.
stupid in that movie. But the monster action itself is pretty badass.
Just remember when they crown King Ghidorah, truly he becomes the king in the middle. And oh
Yeah,
man.
because he with Godzilla.
Yeah. With the help of whatever the whoever it was, I don't remember the people. It was like, wasn't there a section of people who were like, no, we want Ghidorah to be our apex predator monster guy and not Godzilla
And
or whatever? I
then
don't
it's like,
remember.
surprise, King Ghidorah's from space.
He's
He's
from
a
space, he's an
invasive
invader.
species. Yeah, invasive species. I honestly, I think I have to agree with you. I think I preferred King of the Monsters. I think this movie was actually written better as far as plot cohesiveness. And
Yeah, I can
the
agree
reason
with
for that
that.
is because it wasn't really, there wasn't a lot of plot to like mess up, if you know what I mean. But then King of the Monsters tried telling this elaborate story that kind of, at some parts just fell on its face, to be honest. But
I don't know,
I still,
but
the movie's dope.
I will give it to King Godzilla though. Like the intro part where they had like the bracket, like the March Madness bracket to leading
Oh,
up
yeah.
to the finals. Like ah, oh,
Godzilla
that was I fucking was like,
versus King Kong,
it's
yeah.
like oh motherfucker, let's go. But no, nah, it's pretty good, pretty damn good movie.
All right, so unless you have any news you want to spring on me right now that you want to cover, I say we get started.
Monster Hunter is still pretty fucking awesome. Yeah.
Dope, dope, dope.
All right.
All right, let's get into The Loser by who's the author again? Thomas
Thomas
Bernard or Hart?
Bernhard? Bernhard.
Okay.
Or
Did you
maybe
say
it
you had
is
a little
Bernhard.
insight on the author?
Yeah, so Thomas Bernhard was Austrian. He was an Austrian writer, which is where the story is kind of takes place. Question mark? Well, the
I think that
characters are Austrian. He
yeah,
does
honestly,
mention
I'm a little confused with like they
that.
say Vienna and Trike,
Trike.
Trike, Traic. I'm uncultured.
It's one of the. No, it's
There,
okay. I haven't heard.
congratulations, folks. I am uncultured.
I've never heard of like. I only know like what? Oh, Madrid. That's one. That's in Spain. I know that one. No,
Oh,
because he
Madrid.
mentioned Madrid.
Well, Madrid. Yeah, you said it right.
And then the other places. No, oh no, Vienna. Vienna is also might be the capital of Austria. I wouldn't be surprised if it
All right,
was. It's up there in Bonn.
at the very least, it takes place in Europe. We know
Yeah,
that.
no, but he
Possibly
writes.
in the Austria area.
But I think it's important because a lot of his works do are centered around or have characters from Austria, and he's kind of actually known for kind of railing his country. Basically, like using his works to critique, and like what he sees as like a he does it out of love way, pointing out
Well, you get
stuff
a,
like.
you know, I mean, maybe it was kind of lost on me the love part, but I do see that in this story when he's talking about he's quote unquote critiquing the people, like especially when he says something to the effect of living at the countryside just dulls your mind and such, and these are simple folks and the like. But then he also talks about how the richer folk in the area is just like they have so much resource, they just make their own problems, you know? I think that's what he was trying to portray when he was having the narrator speak. This is gonna be a little confusing because the story is a little confusing as far as perspective, folks, but the narrator was trying to have the innkeep portray the innkeeper's thoughts, and that thought being that the rich folk have so much time on their hand that they create their own problems. Whereas people who are working class, like the innkeeper, don't have time to be unhappy, quote unquote, like how Werthemer, God, Werthemer was
I've been going
because
for Wert
they have
Wert
other issues.
yeah, I've been going for Wertheimer.
Oh, Werthemer.
Because I know a Heimerdinger from League of Legends. Never played that one, but back in the day.
I've never played League, so.
No, everyone I remember in high school, everyone fucking at least everyone I knew was playing the shit out of League and banned.
I
Like
was not one of those guys.
fucking remember like Steven who played Steven, oh what was
I
his
remember
last name?
Steven.
Yeah, he would like
I know what you're
play
talking
League
about.
on a laptop during or at in the ban room Just using the music stands to fucking
Oh
put
man, that's wild. You know, I want to, you know, I kind of appreciate that, but on the other hand, I'm like, I don't even know if I would be comfortable doing that.
it's probably not comfortable, but no,
Like,
you're
I don't
good.
know if I've ever liked a PC or maybe even a console game so much, I would play it in the discomfort of public.
I've done it a couple, especially back in school where actually we also played Pokemon a bit. Through DS's
Oh,
had
but
some
well,
epic
no, dude,
battles.
handhelds are different, right? Handhelds
Oh,
you can carry around, but I mean, like,
okay,
you
like
ever
to
see those people
bring
that
in
carry around?
the Xbox.
Yeah, I know
No, I
people that
saw.
bring a PlayStation
I
and, you know,
saw.
a TV.
I think I saw like a tweet. AJ Styles, God bless his heart, love AJ Styles. What he on like a plane? He brought like an Xbox with like a little
Wow.
thingy, and he was playing on the plane. He's like, God, he's a fucking nerd. I love him.
Wow, an Xbox, huh? Damn, wasn't even a respect, respect.
Like, yeah,
I
no,
respect.
that takes a little bit more effort than the average
Those things are
gaming
pretty thick
experience.
too, you know, so
Yeah.
I mean, you probably afford flying
Easily.
in the classes with more space, but
He's a former world champion. Two times, I
WWE.
want to say. And like 15 time TNA. I don't know. I don't know the number. One of
Multiple
those.
championships.
Multiple world time
Lots
world
of
championship.
success.
Yeah.
But
But
okay,
yeah.
before we get too lost, let's run a quick
The
overview on the loser.
overview I got. Some dude thinks for a long time and calls his best friend a big stupid loser over and over and over and over. He's dead, by the way. His friend died.
Yeah.
And went to his
Relatively recently,
funeral.
right?
Went to his funeral, didn't say a fucking thing, left after 20 minutes.
I mean, to be fair, the funeral was about
Yeah,
20 minutes, so
it
you
was.
can't say he
That's.
wasn't there the entire time.
It's. He was there the whole. You know, it's him and his glorious sister. Yep, that's. That wasn't weird. That situation, going on there. But no, it's kind of like the first
What you're
hundred or so
saying is that
pages.
that's like the situation between you and your
Oh
sister,
my
right?
God.
You tell her what side of the road to walk on, what to dress. You tell her you tell her to play the harmonium, whatever that is, for you
I don't know what
all
that
night,
is. And then
and then
call
you
her a
wake up the
pig.
next you wake up yeah wake up the next morning, say she's a pig and she plays dreadfully. You know, maybe it's not such a
No,
bad thing he died. I don't know. This guy doesn't sound too good.
not definitely, definitely. I think both the narrator and Wertheimer are not the best people in terms of
I don't. I
being.
mean, the narrator's probably not great, but I don't think he misused or
Well,
mistreated anyone
I say
really.
that, but it's mainly for the way he narrates. He comes off as very like,
A dick?
like
Now,
nothing
let
ever
me ask
makes.
you,
No.
does that necessarily make you a bad person, or does it just make you a dick?
I feel like if you're a dick, you're a bad. You know, that's part of being a bad person. If you're a dick to
But I mean,
me.
like, he keeps it to himself, though, right? So, if
I
he.
think if you think these things, no, I think intrinsically being a dick makes you a bad person if you even if you don't express these feelings. As you know, there's plenty of times where he's like, I wouldn't say this, but like God, like he I feel it feels
Oh,
like
like when,
he insults like everything and everyone that he ever comes across. Oof. He goes hard. He's very, very highly opinionated.
insulting anything that moves
Yeah,
or exists.
like the city, the people, the whole country, doesn't let anything pass him. He'll tell you exactly. But no, it's
Well, I mean,
the structure.
that's also probably like you said, that's how the author that's what he really puts into the stories, right? Is criticizing the country that he lives in or the people around it. So that makes sense.
Not just the country, but like lots of things in general. Like a bit pessimistic, I'd say. Yeah, I think that's a
A
word
bit?
that
A bit? I don't know about a bit. I mean,
I
maybe a little more than a bit.
don't No, but yeah, a very critical look at life in general, a bit nihilistic, perhaps too, like the way,
I could see that because, well, let me, before we get further into that, I want to give the textbook definition of it. Because I actually had to look this up, but so nihilism, as defined by Google and from the Oxford Dictionary, the rejection of all religions and moral principles and the belief that life is meaningless. So, really, just I want to emphasize on that later part when it's the in the belief that life is meaningless. Now, I don't think the narrator outright says that, but it seems like a lot of the pictures that he paints like has that same effect.
Yeah, like the way he says, like, oh, people are born like unhappy, as I wrote here,
Yes.
and how we spend
Or
our
what?
life like trying to become happy, but we're all just lying to ourselves. It's a lot of roundabout
Like,
ways of
why even
thinking.
try if you're gonna be unhappy, sort of deal?
Yeah. And I think
Or
it kind
like,
of
I think even especially when he talks about in respect to Glenn, he's like, oh, he totally shattered Wertheimer, right? But because and effectively it kind of ruined Wertheimer's life because, oh, if I can't be as good as Glenn, I might as well quit because then it's pointless, which that's not, I mean, I personally don't think that's a good way to think about it, but that's what's portrayed here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's kind of like a look at, like, Glenn Gould exists as the like perfection in human form. Like, he is the end result that they're working towards. And lots of art, lots of anything that you're working towards, like, us normal people who aren't born virtuosos. Which, by the way, Glenn Gould was a real person. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, really? No, I
He was a
didn't. I didn't know
real
that.
ass person.
Oh,
This
okay.
isn't actually true. The author never met him. But
So the
he
story
was
is fiction, but
the story's
but
fiction
the character of Glenn Gould is
was
not.
based on a real person who was a real life piano virtuoso who really did die of a stroke, not while playing the piano like he says here, but that's just a bit
It's
of that's a bit of spice.
such a narrative dramatic or dramatic
Yeah,
fashion.
that'd be very appropriate. But now, like, you see this end result that we a lot of people work towards their entire lives, without some not even reaching like halfway there, and he's just there. And I think that's the one of the points the book goes back to is, oh, when Wertheimer first heard Glenn Gould playing the Goldberg Variations, and that's when everything, that was the catalyst for his ultimate suicide. So yeah, I think
Yeah,
like.
sorry to cut you off here, but did you ever see that meme about 13 Reasons Why?
I think I've
Do
heard
you know what
about,
that is? Do you know that
and I know
show?
that's like the Netflix where it's like a teenager or whatever leaves like a note or whatever. It's like to commit suicide, I think, and like these
Yeah.
are the
But th
people.
there's a meme about that show when the girl's talking about a guy. She's like, oh, that smile, that damn smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what that
I
made me
didn't.
think of with the Goldberg variation. Because, instead of a smile, it's the stupid
Okay.
Goldberg
No, I've
variations.
definitely seen that one, but I had no idea it was from that specifically. Okay.
Yeah. That's what that made me think of.
But I guess a more general view is, yeah, it's basically a narrator, the main character, reminiscing over his two friends from college, one Glenn Gould, real life piano virtuoso, also in this book, and his other friend Wertheimer, who
His
committed
other
suicide.
friend, biggest jabroni on the
Biggest
planet, number
jabroni.
one loser. No one is lesser than me, Baba. Greatest failure in the history of history.
But yeah, no, it's just him thinking about his two buddies from college, and like, yeah, they're both dead. They're both dead now. That's yeah.
Hey, don't worry, man. I hope you think about me like the way the narrator thinks about Wertheimer.
All the time.
Piece of
Don't
shit.
worry. All right. But maybe we get into some of these themes and tones, because I'm not gonna like as we kind of alluded to in terms of plot structure, this book's
God damn.
kind of all over the place. It's
God
like
damn.
massively complicated, but also
Kinda
not.
over the place? Kinda?
It's all over the but like in terms of what actually
What happens in the
what
plot?
happens is like he does like
Yeah.
three things, right? Like he goes
Yes.
he goes to an inn, then he goes to his dead friend's estate. That's basically it. You know?
And then he goes to play the piano.
I don't think he
Well,
did he
I mean,
go?
he doesn't
No,
actually
he
play it. He goes to the piano and closes it, but
But I think now we'll get into these themes and tones as we see here.
talks to
There's a
the
big
innkeeper.
maybe. Maybe
Plots,
not.
speaking as far as like physical plot, like if it was following it, like if you were in person watching it, yeah, it's literally just him talking to a innkeeper who apparently had a open blouse or something, and then he goes to his dead friend's estate. Tonally speaking, I do want to point out, like, I think just that theme, not theme, but it is sort of down in the dumps or saddening or almost like a meaningless feeling. I don't know if depressing is the right word for it,
I mean, he
but
definitely does drop depression. Like, I had depression, Wertheimer had depression. I'm
that's
pretty sure he
true.
does say that. Maybe Glenn also. Like, you know,
I thought
just
he was saying Glenn was the exception to it, but I mean, I think Glenn probably had his own
I
issues,
mean, yeah,
but
Glenn was an exception in a lot of ways, yeah.
and
But,
you know that nihilistic tone of just giving up just because, you know, there's someone better than you, or there's no point in pursuing what you like because there's someone better than you, so on and so forth. I think is what I grasp from it, tonally speaking.
Yeah, no, I think yeah.
So let's get into this fucking theme that you put here.
I got my duality of man. So the way I look at it, the reason why the loser is all over the place, because if you read it, it's very unique. Basically, like sentences. Everything it's written as if the guy is thinking.
I
So he'll say,
thought.
I a blah 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 blah, Glenn Gould was really good at piano, I thought. And then he'll have like entire scenes for of his memories of these two guys and end it with like, oh, I thought. It's very confusing. And I think what he's going for, Bernard, is an interpretation of what it is like to think. This is what thought looks like written down. You know, personally, I feel like I kind of resonate with that because sometimes, you know, just when you're just in the moment of thinking, it can be pretty without a lot of structure. If you don't have, you know, a set thing
It
like
could
what
be
you're in front of you now,
distracted.
you'd
It
be
could be all over
distracted.
the
He
place.
goes off on tangents,
You
like
know,
mentions one city, then goes off for like 5 pages about said city, how shit it is, how shit its people are, how shit its air
not
is,
even
how it's
joking.
killing us.
It
He is
is somewhat
not.
like 5 pages. Yeah. Now, I was gonna, when we were first initially talking about this, did a little pre-show talk. I was about to throw a flag on that and say like, no, people don't think about that, but I mean, I don't think. I mean, there are moments when I am confused or distracted, and I could actually, you are correct. I do think this is what thought would be like. But on the other hand, I'm like, God damn, I hope I don't always think like that.
No,
I hope I have some sort of
I think
focused thought.
he's definitely exaggerating it, you know. I think the average person wouldn't think like this all the time. Maybe it's like, well, you know, his only two real human connections in the world are both dead. You know, he just came back from one of his funerals. Maybe he's not in a completely great state of mind. He wasn't in a great state of mind before, obviously. But you know, it feels to me, yeah, like this is a stream of consciousness kind of narrative where it's just
That
thoughts,
dude,
feelings, ideas.
I have not heard that term in so long. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's
We
one of those like AP Lang or
Yeah,
Lit whatever
yes,
ones.
exactly. Oh my God. Yeah, dude, I stream of con No, I think you hit the head on the nail as far as the narrative style. I think that's exactly it. Because essentially, you know, gonna spoil this for you folks. Essentially,
Whoa.
this book is like one monologue. It's actually even to fit that exact style is it's like one it's read as one paragraph, essentially. It's not even broken up into chapters, it's not broken into
Yeah,
multiple paragraphs,
none of that
paragraphs.
shit, none of that shit. Who needs that?
None of that shit people expect in regular books and enjoy reading, but
No, I definitely think that was actually part of his
no, I could
intent,
believe that
yeah.
was intent. And
He was like,
it does
fuck this
match
normie shit.
the sorry, what's the term again? The consciousness term?
Oh, stream of consciousness.
Yeah, so No, it actually is brilliant in an organization sense and a narrative sense, because how it's written out or typed out in the book, it does match one thought, therefore one stream of consciousness. I think you defined that beautifully as far as the the writing style of this particular book.
And that kind of relates to the theme I wrote down here, my trump card, my kitty-fooda, the duality of man. Because
No, ace in the hole. Hold on. He sucks.
he sets no other. What would it be? Hondun?
Dueldy, a man. His finisher, his WWE
Oh,
finisher,
shit.
press triangle. Press triangle to hit the duality of man. It's actually just
that
him
should have been.
punching you in the back of the head for real.
That should have been a Mankind's thing. This should have been like if Mankind was could tag team with one of his other personas.
Oh, he's so good though. Oh, he's so
Like
good.
him and Cactus Jack fucking some people up. Come on,
I wish, you know what, you know, did you ever see that promo when it's Cactus Jack and then no, sorry, it's Dude Love and Mankind, and it'd been great if he dropped a line. He said, "Oh,
no,
we're a new tag team, the duality of man,
because
bro."
the one I'm thinking of is I think it was I want to say leading up to WrestleMania 2000, the Fatal Four Way, and
Oh my God,
it's
yeah.
Mankind and Triple H, and man and Triple H is like, oh Mankind, you're a broken down, you can't do shit, and then Mankind's like, yeah, you're right, Triple H. I can't I can't do it. Mankind can't do it. But I know someone who can. And it just doesn't even go back, just rips off the shirt. Cactus Jack's here. Oh fuck, I love that so much.
He probably just didn't want to do the running to the back part. He said, "Ah, fuck it."
Yeah, fuck it. It's right here. I've been one of my favorite moments that I've seen of this moment that I didn't watch live. But hey, you know what? That's what the network's for.
Well, there's no network, so that's not even
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, it's kind
Network's
of weird
dead, pal.
now. We got
Peacock, you
Peacock.
mean. Cock. Vince's cock.
The
Vinnie
cock of
Mac's cock.
the cock of the walk, as they call it.
Yes. What?
But yeah, no, duality
Okay,
of man.
but yeah, put over this duality of man bullshit. I want to hear about
I
it.
think there's so many times, right, where he goes back and forth. I think for me the main thing is what he's deciding whether or not the true cause of Wertheimer's death, whether it be him quitting piano as a result of Glenn,
Because of Glenn.
or his sister escaping and
And
marrying
ditching him.
off, ditching him to be alone.
Which honestly, he kind of deserved.
Yeah, no, what, no, 100% probably deserved. Yet yeah, from the way it was described, Wertheimer was kind of a fucking god awful
Nutcase.
person, a
Just a
bit.
shitty human being.
A bit.
He would manipulate and control his sister about what she can do, who could she be with, what religion she can practice.
Yeah.
But his sister wanted to live her own life, damn it. And then Wertheimer said, "Oh, I'll show you." And
I'll show
then
you living
he
your own life.
hung himself in front of her house, and no one realized it was him for quite some time.
That
So
that's a
that's
fucking that's a power move though. Not gonna lie. Like, damn, that's some shit.
But when Bianca gets married off, are
Oh
you
my
gonna?
God.
Oh man,
I think it'll
was
be
a little too
fine.
dark. I'm sorry.
A little bit. I think it'll be fine. No. I get to keep Ashley. She can't take her away. My cat.
You? Can you?
Yeah. She loves me more way more than anyway. I'm her
Okay.
favorite human.
Maybe if
Obviously.
Wartheimer had a cat that loved him the way Ashley loves you, then maybe he wouldn't have done any of that.
Hey, you know what? Right. I think that's the moral of the story here. You know, just get a cat that doesn't hate you. Yeah, that's all you need. Who? But yeah, no. Back to duality, man. No, he flips back and forth, but lots of not just that, but that was the main thing. But plenty of stuff. Like he'll think one thing, contradict himself another. I don't have a specific quotes because it's kind of rough. But yeah, talking about the happy versus unhappiness. Like humans are inherently born unhappy, and we spend our lives, you know, trying to be happy, or you know, and then also talk about like death too and suicide. Now this book's fucking pretty dark. Just realized. No, yeah, I'm talking about how Wertheimer was the one always saying, "Oh, I'm gonna go to your funeral. You're the one that's gonna commit suicide," and ends up
which
being
is a hell of a thing to tell a friend, right?
That's I mean, from what you just this discourse we're having now, I guess maybe we also have that kind of relationship.
Well, if I told you to kill yourself every podcast, I think that might be bad.
Might be a little sad, but
you know, and to really put over that life is meaningless type of theme is a quote I have here: "To exist means nothing other than we despair. No music ability and no life ability." And this is in respect to Wertheimer. No life ability. Yep.
No life.
You know, I know you say duality, man, but like for me, how I remember this book from reading it, it just seems like, what's the point in trying?
Yeah, that one goes.
Is the main theme I'm picking up from it?
Yeah, I think.
What's the point in trying when there's like geniuses, quote unquote, born geniuses like Glenn, right? Even though the narrator really puts over that Wertheimer could have been one of the greatest piano virtuosos ever, right? But he chose to quit just because he got, quote unquote, destroyed by Glenn. And apparently, even the narrator was better than Wertheimer's, so he was on a greater level.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I feel like I can kind of, when I saw the premise of this, I could relate on a level, because I remember when I played trombone like all of middle school, I thought I was pretty good. And then I go to high school, and I didn't go to like performing arts high school like Bianca did, and she probably could relate even harder, where it's like you just see like people who are like just 10 times better than you are without having to practice nearly as much. Yeah, and then like in that feeling, it could be kind of, it could get you,
it's definitely a kick in the nuts,
you know. So I don't 100%. I can kind of relate on a level.
No, I think
obviously
I think,
not enough to,
not on I mean, such an extreme level.
I mean, I did quit. I did stop. I didn't even play in my. I quit senior year because I was like, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you quit just because you saw Steven and Steven's like, Steven's so good.
Oh, no, no,
and
no.
Then
Steven,
I'm going to quit.
No, no, Steven wasn't that. He wasn't like God of Bam, but he was really good at like COD. I remember like.
The point I'm trying to make is you quit because you just lost passion for it as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, you met someone better than you and you're like, I can't get better, so I quit.
I mean, I think there was a bit of that where I'm like, yeah, I don't see myself pursuing a career in this.
Right.
And, you know, kind of like how these two fuckers were like, yeah, we're going to be piano virtuosos, kind
which
of.
They could have been.
Was. No, I think, yeah, I think it's really interesting where it's like thinking, like, when you compare yourself to, like, the zenith of your thing, like, I'm sure both of these dudes were, like, way, like, really good. You know, they're still really good talent. It reminds me, I think I want to say a little story about, like, was it Eric Clapton when he first heard Jimi Hendrix? And he was like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, no. I'm done.
Well, and those are two very different guitarists, right? So, because Hendrix, like, shredding and tonguing the guitar, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it'd be like a sobering experience, really, to kind of encounter, you know, these kinds of people. But, yeah, I think, yeah, that's the main. Because, like, originally I'm like, okay, this is going to be a book about his thoughts on Glenn Gould. But, like, honestly, I feel like most of the thoughts are about Wertheimer. Like, to me, Wertheimer feels like the main focus.
Wertheimer, and then I feel like it kind of relates to him.
Yeah.
In a lot of aspects, right?
And at the end, he even says, like, oh, when he wants to write a book about Glenn in-universe, which isn't...
Yeah.
That's kind of funny that he did the character.
Kind of meta. It's kind of meta.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a very interesting literary device.
And then says at the end, I have to include his interactions with Wertheimer. Like, I'll write the book about Glenn to find out how I really feel about Wertheimer is what he says, I think.
I actually, yeah. You know, continuing on that point of how what the narrator says things about Wertheimer, but then also relates to him. There's this quote: "For very often, people who work with products of the intellect say they don't hold something in high regard, and on the contrary hold it in very high regard indeed, just won't admit it because they're ashamed of such inferior work, as they call it. Badmouth their work so as not to have to be publicly ashamed of it at least. And at that moment where the quote is from, I think the narrator was saying in respect to Wertheimer and his note, Wertheimer's various notes that he would make, but you could argue that same train of thought to the narrator and how the narrator actively puts down the book that he was trying to write about Glenn. He actively puts down that it's not worth anything, right? So it's like the kettle calling the pot black. Yeah,
definitely. Like,
and but the funny thing is that he's pointing it out himself.
That, like, finding out like the hypocrisy within himself, you know, which is you know very very like interesting and like shows a bit of perspective, like your the ability to see that within yourself. Whether or not he'll actually do something about it is completely different. It could be, you know, identifying your weaknesses and faults is one thing, actively correcting them is another. So no, but it's very very interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess duality, man. I just kind of, that's the one thing I thought about. It's kind of there. No, but I think definitely, yeah, the main point really is like the way, well, I think the what I have here, how they're, them witnessing Glenn Gould's greatness both like nurtured them, as in like they were able to experience, you know,
his high level piano,
his high level like musicality, but also destroyed like their confidence in their own thing, their own abilities. Yeah. Shit, I had another point I think I wanted to say regarding to duality. What was I gonna say? Oh no, yeah, he does a lot of comparing too. He compares himself to the other two guys constantly, right? And
the Glenn or Werthemer. Like for Werthemer, he says, I mean, I think him and Glenn, no, sorry, Werthemer and narrator are very similar, but the key difference, at least as the narrator observes, is that he didn't put all his eggs in the piano virtuoso basket, such as Wertheimer. So Wertheimer got super destroyed when he met Glenn, whereas narrator, you know, it made him not pursue piano so much so that he sold his Steinway that he really jerked off, right? No, but it wasn't enough to make him shitty or take his life.
See, I feel like, yeah, it's, he wasn't affected nearly as an extent, but I see that, like, he's trying to rationale, like, oh yeah, I don't feel that bad, where in reality he still gave up music. He still, like, in his other career as a philosopher, which he says he is, he's published nothing.
Yeah,
he hasn't really accomplished much outside of music. So I think, yeah, to me, that moment, I remember that moment. Yeah, it's like he's trying to rationalize, like, oh, I'm not like Wertheimer, I wasn't personally as destroyed, where in reality I think he probably
was. I agree with you. He was destroyed by Glenn, but I will say I don't think it was to the extent of Wertheimer, because I feel like, or maybe Wertheimer. Actually, you know, this is why I like doing this, because it creates discussion and an active thought. You know, back to your point when you said, did Wertheimer hang himself because of his sadness from Glenn destroying his quote unquote destroying his piano career, or was it from when his sister deserted him? You know, I think the narrator really tries to compare Glenn destroying him, Glenn destroying Wertheimer in respect to him, just for the comparison aspect of it. Like, Wertheimer was lesser because of his sister and so on. Sorry, that was kind of rambling, but.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Let's see. Do I have anything else of substance I can offer? Actually, let me check my notes on my phone.
Yeah, I was doing that too.
Peace, Pope Glenn, yeah. Oh, yeah! Well, no, that's just like a, whatever, I'll say it, yeah. He mentions, I think, actually, I forget if this was in the book or in the afterword, where he mentions, like, the Goldberg variations were originally made to, I think, be like a lullaby. I think that's what it is. I think I heard like a, I listened to like the beginning of it, and it's very like a soothing piece of music. I feel.
It was a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real song.
Oh, I
And
legit thought they just made it up.
Glenn Gould is legit known for playing it. Like
God
that's
damn.
real.
What's it called when it's like it's fiction, but then like they take aspects of
Oh,
reality? There's a term for that. I just can't remember.
artificial fic historical
No, hold on.
fiction? I think historical
Maybe, maybe,
fiction.
maybe, maybe, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. But due to like that's the piece that soothing lullaby that destroyed that ultimately killed quote unquote Wertheimer.
Well, that's kind of ironic, right?
I think irony can be a good like theme and or tone. I guess it's a theme, which I also read as a
The
part of
dramatic
the
irony. I mean, I think it's definitely an intended narrative device
You
used by
have
the narrator here, right?
that one, and then you have Wertheimer saying he'll be the one to go to his funeral. Also, that's dramatic irony
It's
too.
foreshadowing, too.
Yeah, a
Well,
bit.
I guess it's not foreshadowing in the
Well,
respect that it already happened in the story, but
oh, I guess no. He's saying like before when they were both alive,
that's true
Wertheimer.
too. It's kind of confusing. The perspective in the story is all over the place.
But yeah, I guess in terms of themes and tones, that's all I got. So maybe we should moving on to these characters, perhaps.
I don't want to touch on the snarky and
Oh, the
scathing
tones. No. I guess we were
tonality of
kinda,
it. I mean, we
I
did
guess we're
kind of
kinda going
cover it,
over cover
but
most,
I do want to
yeah.
go through the specific examples that you have
Oh
here.
yeah, go for it. Like, yeah, as I said, he fucking has strong opinions
He
about
calls the
everything.
people of the home country cretinous, disgusting, appalling.
Yeah, these are all words
Oh,
that I'm
man.
pretty sure he uses. Cretinous
Oh,
too.
God.
Like, he uses that all the time. He likes that one.
There was one that I saw about the walls. Oh, yeah. These walls kill off all sensitivity. And I think that was in respect to the inn. So essentially, it was saying all the people in that home area don't have tact and they lack proper etiquette.
Definitely a feeling of like, well, every both him and his other two friends come from rich families and well upbringings, and
Glenn wasn't
he
rich though, right?
no he was he did cover
Oh, okay.
from a rich family. Yeah,
All right, I misunderstood.
none of them had ever had any want for money or struggle, yet they all obviously did plenty of unhappy. Like the innkeeper said, these rich people just have nothing better to do than to create problems for themselves. It's like,
They
all
just
Wertheimer
want to
wanted,
be oppressed.
fucking all Wertheimer wanted was just moan about how shitty his life was. And like, dude, you're
That's true.
rich as fuck. Like, what's wrong?
Right, let's get into these characters. Starting off with Glenn Gould, who I just recently found out is a real person
The real
and
ass
actually
person.
played Goldberg Variation. So learn something new every day, right? But to put it very bluntly, because these walls kill off sensitivity, he was the Michael Jordan of piano, at least in respect to the narrator and Wertheimer.
It's kind of funny because obviously he lived like 40 years before Michael Jordan was born, something like that. But yeah, that's how we relate to things, using our
But he was
brain.
essentially a super talented pianist. Pianist.
Peanut.
But
Oh, he never said, Glenn never said pianist. He always said piano player. I remember that part.
that's true. But no, not only did he play and practice consistently, but he just had the quote unquote gift for it. He loved playing. Well, I can't speak for the actual person, but in this iteration of Glenn Gould, he loved playing piano so much he didn't want to play for the public, so he
Yeah,
just
he did. That's
played for
real.
himself.
He
Oh,
did
that's
stop
real.
doing he did stop doing public performances and just
He
recording
actually
stuff
just
at
keep
home.
playing for himself. Oh, okay.
So
So
that's
he
real.
was mastering his craft literally just for himself at some point, both in reality and in this fiction.
Which I think kind of goes to how Glenn Gould in this novel exemplifies like an artist in the purest sense of the word. Like he plays purely for the music as opposed to
For himself.
money or fame.
In fact, the narrator down talks people who play for the public, and he really puts over how Glenn is in this single-minded pursuit. all by himself.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I guess obsession too. You know what? Obsession, that's a good theme. Because Glenn was
You know
obsessed.
what? I have to agree with you. Yeah, I have to absolutely agree with you. Obsession is a very key factor in this story, and it shows its effects on people, right?
And not just Glenn, who also, we'll talk about the two others maybe, but yeah, Glenn was like obsessed with becoming, like I said, he wanted to become the piano, become the
Yeah.
Steinway. It's like it's
Was
Glenn
his a
Gould, the
Steinway?
Steinway.
I thought his was something else.
Now he had a Steinway,
Okay.
obviously. Come on, why would he not? Why would he have the bur oh
Whatever the
shoot,
fuck
the
other
other
one
one,
Wertheimer had.
the lesser one.
The Wertheimer one.
The loser one.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, but
Glenn the Refuser and Wertheimer the
yeah, I
Loser.
forget the refuser. That's
The Refuser.
no, I mean, Steinway is like the quote unquote gold standard for pianos, but no, yeah, he wanted to like the purest pursuit, yeah,
Did
of,
you say it's the Goldberg standard?
I guess he's
Yeah.
what was I gonna
But
say? I
no,
had something to
Glenn
say.
acts as the catalyst of the story, essentially. What the two other characters base themselves off of, for the most part, as far as the epitome of piano perfection. And apparently, it's what destroys them and discourages them from pursuing piano, as we mentioned earlier. And he dies from a stroke. That's true, but it wasn't as
Not
dramatic. Not on
in the
playing
middle
piano.
of playing piano. That'd be pretty, what a way to go.
Picturesque ending almost.
Yeah, as he says, I think he says like, oh yeah, Wertheimer died at the wrong time, but Glenn, he died at the right time.
I actually like the. They do talk about death a lot in this story, and it's a prevalent aspect of it. And I think you illustrated it perfectly there with quote unquote dying at the right time and the wrong time.
So yeah, like, to me, yeah, Glenn Gould's basically like a symbol, you know, that the two
Yeah, no,
others
he's
like
not.
fail to strive to be like a comparison point that he constantly compares,
Now,
you know, everyone to.
I wonder why he designates Wertheimer as a loser and the narrator just as a person.
I think.
Because Glenn's the one that designated Wertheimer as a loser, right?
Well, you know, maybe because everything that the narrator said about Wertheimer is true, that he really is the shittiest one of the three of them.
I mean, he did
Yeah.
have the, apparently he did have the least, quote unquote, least piano skill between the three, right? So.
Yeah, perhaps.
I mean,
Yeah, I
like, I
think
say
that's.
least, but I don't think he was much worse than a narrator, if at
No,
all.
not yet. I think, yeah, maybe that's the crux. That's the question of like, because I think the three of them, you know, did s have stuff in common, but in terms of like ability was different. But what does that's a good question. That's a good fucking question.
You
What
know,
now?
I'm just gonna say this right now. Like, the story is fairly confusing, but it does leave a lot for open discussion and questions. Not plot hole questions, but lots of open for interpretation. And I'm assuming that was intentional just because of the way the narrative story proceeds, such as the one paragraph. But, you know, like, it's intriguing in one sense, but I feel like it loses me in other a lot of the time.
Yeah, I could see that. I think, yeah, because to me, the way Glenn relates to Wertheimer, Glenn is like the magnifying glass of discovering like the truth behind Wertheimer, you know, because Wertheimer wanted to be this great piano virtuoso,
He
but
wanted to be Glenn.
he wanted to be Glenn, but Glenn showed up, showed off his talent, and then declared like I think yeah when. The narrator talks about the moment he first heard Glenn call Wertheimer a
Yeah.
loser. He could see
Like
like
I think he
something
narrowed it down like at 4 p.m. four
something
months ago, 4 or 5 months ago.
that. Like Wertheimer like never like knew somewhere deep inside him that he was correct, but had never been properly like called out on it because I mean that's kind of an asshole thing to do to someone. I don't know if it's when they first met or maybe they knew each other a bit more, but I think no matter what, calling someone a loser is kind of rough. But you know what? That's kind of part of Glenn's eccentricity. Yeah,
Eccentric
eccentricities.
nature.
Yeah, he definitely comes off as being a very eccentric man. Like how they're talking about when they rented or whatever, lived at a house that was like a former Nazi place with like
Not
whatever.
Nazi sculptus.
Yeah, because Austria back then did get annexed by Nazi Germany, and that's history that definitely people have feelings about, including author here, who probably not the happiest, but the Glenn was like, no, this is perfect. This is great. This is exactly what we need. We need to live in the house of a Nazi.
I don't think we'll get much better than that, folks. So,
I almost wish we were popular enough where that could get clipped and just I get destroyed online. Can you imagine? It's like, yeah,
but
that's this is what
then
I think, obviously.
our 10% of loyal fans will defend you on Twitter and be like, "No, you
The
took
o
it out of
the
context."
Ophi stands.
There you go. The O crew. The O crew.
The Oh God. Is there an O word I can think? The O or me? That's bad. That's
Oh
real.
man, that's
That's
brutal. That's brutal.
bad.
Absolutely dreadful. Ugh.
Speaking of absolutely dreadful, Wertheimer is a piece of shit.
Yeah, period.
Yeah, he's a
Oh, but
big
yeah,
loser.
so just before we move on, I just want to say Glenn Gould, I don't think he really had a character arc. He was just essentially the catalyst for the other two, and then he died. So, and he was their goal, essentially, a goal that
Yeah,
destroyed him.
they're gold.
Oh man. Okay, Wertheimer. Let's talk about
Wertheimer,
Wertheimer.
a masterpiece
Abused
of
his
shit.
sister. Yeah, abused his sister.
Generally sounds like a whiny ass dude.
Played hide
Talks.
the pickle with the innkeeper.
Yep. I mean, I feel like we, on our previous bit here, we talked a decent amount about the characters, but yeah, no, Wertheimer basically kind of is the titular loser. Like a lot of the focus on narrator's thoughts is like how like Wertheimer's life kind of, yeah, I think that's kind of, I'd say that's kind of pop go what it's jives with like, oh, he just died, now I have time to think about his life, how it relates to
Almost
why
a
maybe he
mourn,
died.
in a sense, right? Like
Yeah,
how people deal with that.
I definitely do think, yeah, this is his way of mourning, because I think there was a thing here where he says,
Even had that tinge of guilt, right?
yeah, oh,
Because apparently
definitely, yeah, because
Wertheimer was trying to invite the narrator.
try to reach
He
out.
Wertheimer asked their narrator, "Should I continue playing piano after playing a piece for the narrator?" And the narrator straight up just tells him, "No, you should stay retired."
Damn, yeah. And even like the way he sounds like his last couple days were, where he was like suddenly inviting a bunch of people who he didn't ne he never really cared for, just suddenly
Actually,
for
people he
some reason
disliked.
he actively disliked, and then
So,
inviting
what are
them
your
to
thoughts on
his
his
thing.
reasoning for that?
Now I think he was just kind of spiraling at that point.
I think he was being spiteful. I think he was just in such a bad place because he, like
Yeah,
the
I think.
narrator explains, these are people Wertheimer always talked
Yeah,
poorly about. He never really liked, and then he gets the shittiest piano he can find. It's out of tune, and he just shits out the Bach piano music, right? And he makes these people stay. Well, he quote unquote makes them stay, but he doesn't force them with violence. He entices them with money and booze, so on and so forth. And just to get back at them, just so he could torture people, he plays shitty Bach. And these are people, that listen to music, so like it's something that'd be directly maybe quote offensive to them.
And maybe it's like when he was doing that, he's like, okay, in his mind, he's like, I'm such a shitty piano player, obviously. Even though he did have talent, he did work toward, he had studied piano for years, but like in his
He
mind,
being Wertheimer, right?
Wertheimer, like in his mind, was just so, like, compared to Glenn, he was shit. He was terrible. He was nothing. And this is kind of like one last, like, fulfilling that truth that maybe wouldn't have been true if he never did meet Glenn. That, he could have been a great piano player, but instead now he's the loser. He's playing some stupid loser piano and making people cry. It reminds me, I think, did you hear about when the I think he was the founder of Zappos? How
Wait,
he
what?
okay so he you know what Zappos is, right?
I've heard of it. I don't know what
Yeah,
it is.
it's like a shoe company that I think their main hub is in Vegas. But he was very
Okay.
success he's a very successful man, obviously founded a very successful thing. Hold on, am I getting this right? Oh, sold to Amazon. Was it CEO? Okay, it's not the founder. Was it the CEO?
The point being.
Oh, T Tony Hsieh? Yeah, no, he was very very wealthy, successful man, but then I think he committed suicide. And it reminded me of Wertheimer, because I think there were reports of how he like would spend like crazy amounts of money on like kind of going crazy with like parties or with strangers, with people he didn't really know, like holding crazy events, and that kind of reminded me
Yeah,
of
no,
what.
that's actually the direct relation, right?
Yeah. Okay, injured in a house fire in his home. Okay, so it wasn't
Oh.
might not have been through suicide, but definitely a level of destructiveness that's what that reminded me
Destructive
of.
nature, yes, I
Yeah,
think that's the word for it. Now,
yeah,
before we continue on, just to key in, I think obsession is one of the key themes in this
yeah.
story, like you pointed out. And I think the duality of man here is the Wertheimer and the narrator were obsessed with piano, and therefore they're obsessed with Glenn Gould, right? Glenn Gould's the catalyst for that. I think if you were to view the theme of obsession as far as Wertheimer, he was so obsessed with it that it quote unquote ruined his life. Where the narrator, he was so obsessed with it where it kind of ruined his life, but he wasn't as terrible as Wertheimer was
No, and I
as far
think
as. Hang. He wasn't so terrible to hang himself in front of someone for deserting him.
maybe not yet. Who knows what happens in the future?
The
Anything's possible.
loser part
That's
two,
that sounds kind of sad,
where
but
it's
I'll
just
hike.
someone else. It's actually written from the innkeeper's perspective.
Actually just like oh yeah, suicide's always about. Sounds so bad. No, and
Oh,
I think
man.
I think you could also extend that to Glenn. Like you could say, dying
He
at
was
the
obsessed with the
piano,
piano, right?
that ultimately quote unquote killed him. Because
No, I
maybe he
think I
had
see. This
medical.
is why I love doing this podcast because it's the Socratic seminar of finding better understanding or meaning through discussion. So
Trying to.
I think we are zoning in on the key theme of the story.
No, it's a book about a story about multiple different things, obsession, death, life, meaning of life, or lack thereof.
Yes. Oh, actually, no, sorry, your point.
I don't know. No, I was just going over what we've kind of laying out what we've achieved so far, what we've gleaned, what we've glened, whatever.
Well, anything else on Wartheimer?
No, he's a piece of
All right. So, oh, I do remember what I want to say. I would argue, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but Wertheimer and the narrator are foils of each other, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're
Yeah, so I
constantly
think the
comparing
theme of
themselves. Yeah.
obsession portrayed those two is effective in the sense that they're both foils for the story.
Yeah, definitely a lot of the narrators saying Wertheimer was this, but I was the opposite. I was more like Glenn. Who's the ideal version of that?
I
Yeah.
mean, he didn't hang himself in front of his sister, right?
Yeah.
And was unidentified for a week or so. So, yeah, he's not like Wertheimer. But then
A bit
again,
better.
I think the key thing there is that Wertheimer tried to grasp back at the piano, whereas the narrator effectively gave it up. at least for the majority of the story. But at the end, though, I kind of wonder if they were teasing that the narrator was giving it a thought in his grief stricken state.
Yeah, and I think I see him approaching the piano as like kind of an instinctive something within his DNA still wants to play piano, but yeah, because of his meeting Glenn, like he's just told himself, just like Wertheimer did, like, no, I can't do this. Like that's not who I am anymore. But something part of him is definitely, still wants to, reach out.
Anything else on the narrator?
Nah, he's a confusing piece of shit. Lesser piece of shit. There we go. He's
I think that's the correct way to categorize it,
it's a
yes.
half he's a half he's a half shit.
He's a dingleberry, is what you're saying? He's one of those turds that gets caught
Is
in grass
that what a
hairs?
dingleberry is that what a
Yeah.
dingleberry I thought
Yeah, that's what
dingleberry
dingleberry
isn't that
is.
like an actual berry though?
It might be, but
Oh wait, nope. It's just a fucking
it's just
insult.
shit. Yeah,
A
it's just shit.
foolish, stupid, or contemptible person. All right.
All right, so as far as questions, like I mentioned earlier, moving on to notable moments, that is, there's not really anything plot hole wise to pick out. If there were questions, it'd be more like, what's the meaning of certain aspects, like the meaning of the Goldberg variations? I kind of think the way I see it is the Goldberg variations are. It's like the white whale for Wertheimer and the narrator, right? It's that one
Yeah, that's
unattainable
appropriate.
thing that they can't achieve to become that true piano virtuoso.
And I think it just keeps showing up within the story. Glenn and his Goldberg variations, even at the
Especially even
very
at the
end.
end.
Even at the
Actually,
end.
you know, and I think that just leads back to that obsession, right, of chasing that white whale, right? And I think that's what the ending was. You know, looking back at it and us talking on it, like maybe that's what it was trying to tell us, is that, you know, you could tell yourself no matter how many times, like, oh, I'm quit. I met Glenn. It ruined me for piano. I'll never pick it up again. But still in the back of his mind, and still in the back of his mind, he wants to chase that white whale of the Goldberg variations. Because it's still, he goes to play it when it was open on Wertheimer's record player. And obviously we know how Wertheimer's obsession with chasing the Goldberg variations went for him, and it's still lingering in the narrator. Actually, yeah,
Yeah,
I think that's how
definitely.
the ending is meant to be interpreted.
Yeah, no, I think
Yeah.
it's like a bookend, how maybe not in the actual story, but like in terms of narrative, the Goldberg Variations was them meeting Glenn was the catalyst of the story, and it bookends the ending of this story. Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good analogy you got there. I like that.
Thank you. But no, the ending, you know, for me personally, I think they could have got to the ending faster and still get the same point across. But I thought the ending was very appropriate for what the story was building up to.
Yeah, I definitely think the pacing of the story is a bit
Oh God, the bit?
bit
The bit?
off,
It's
bit
off.
difficult, a bit difficult to get through. But I guess that can lead into the key directing we got here.
Yes. And I know we already mentioned these points, but I would like to run through them again just really quick. So like Ophi said earlier with a great when he pointed out, it's a stream of consciousness, so it makes sense for the story to be repetitive, possibly contradictory, because it's literally one man's thoughts narrating over other people's actions, flashbacks, current actions, so on and so forth. And they double down on that stream of consciousness thought with having a monologue style, single paragraph organization.
Yeah, which
And it gives us a really
does
intimate look on the narrator.
it a very very oh yeah, we're camping. We got rent, gotta pay rent living in this brain. That's what we gotta do. We're just here. But yeah, that does kind of make it a bit difficult to follow sometimes, especially when you like
Oh, it makes it
realize.
super. I was confused on the progression of the story of the events because I thought how it went was narrator goes to the inn, sells his piano, then goes on the trip, then goes to the funeral. When in reality, when Ophi corrected me, is the narrator's in the inn for essentially what, 80% of the story?
Yeah,
And
basically.
he's just thinking to himself, and then in that 80%, like at the later half of it, not later half, in the later end of it, he's talking to the innkeeper, and then he just goes to Wartheimer's estate,
And
and that's how the
trike.
story ends.
Trake.
Traich
I'm
in
sure
Austrian.
there's plenty of words in English that foreigners have trouble with. That's fine.
Like
Don't worry.
onomatopoeia.
I heard at least from like some British people, like pronouncing like the ER, like not saying something like, let me think, what's a word?
Tiger? Tiger?
Tight.
That has
Tiger.
an ER.
No, but I think it's like the way, like instead of
Yeah.
saying like what do you call it? What's the word I was thinking of? Not
Lou?
dollar. They don't say dollar. They say
Goliard?
they'll say like ten a tenner. Never mind. I don't know what I'm saying. I give up. Okay. Yeah.
But
The
as
phrase
far
I
as
saw.
this, I right, go ahead.
I was gonna say the phrase I saw describe it was like narrative schizophrenia, which I think
Yes, that is
that
very
is how
appropriate.
it comes off. Yeah, just wanted to throw that in
And
there.
it really does match the story and what they're going for. And I respect that, but honestly, it made it difficult for me to follow and read. Like maybe someone better could figure it out. I don't doubt it, but just for me personally, I got lost in it, and it took some getting used to. It was unapologetic with how
Yeah,
the story was meant to be read.
just like the narrator. Unapologetic. Doesn't apologize for nothing. Pretty sure he doesn't.
We already touched
Not at
on the
all.
Goldberg variations. I don't want to talk any more about that. I do want to say, point out what was the significance of the different sorts of pianos. There's the Steinway, which is seen as, the top tier piano. The piano at the end, what was that brand called? The one that was
Oh
out of
yeah,
tune?
the I think I've heard of that one before too. It's like
Well,
ERHA
so these are real.
some
I know
shit.
Steinway is a real one, but these are real piano brands that they're
Yeah.
talking about. Man, he's just shitting on them then.
The one word word oh fuck, why am I forget? Wertheimer W dude loser. The one loser had Bosendorfer. A Bosen.
Yeah, Bossendorf or
How do I
whatever.
pronounce this? Whatever. Which
Bossendorf.
I think the narrator, either the narrator or Glenn, I think Glenn said like
Probably both.
when he first got to the school, like that was a type of piano, and he's like, fuck that shit. Get that out of my sight. I want a Steinway here. I want it now. And he did.
It pays to be Hogan.
Yeah, I was thinking like it's
Just
like, oh,
Glenn's
who's
just
the
sitting
third?
there and stroking his Fu Manchu and saying, "Nah, brother, that Boston dog don't work for me."
Just like the
But yeah.
like the NWO. You got Hogan and the Outsiders.
Nash and Hall. Hall and Nash. Do you know
Boom.
that was just stock Time Warner music? Like they didn't create that specifically for NWO. That was just something stock in their library.
That's pretty good, you know?
Yeah,
That does
right?
it sound That's great.
A lot of the WCW music was stock music, and I was like, damn, they had actually had
Huh.
a pretty good library. Like Arn Anderson's theme, I love that one.
Well, I don't think I've heard his own theme. I just know the War Horseman. That one's good though.
That
Four
one's good
Horsemen
too.
theme. Da -do 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 -do. Ugh. Oh, but yeah, no, it's I think I had a point, one more point about something. I don't remember
Well, I just wanted to point out
it.
the pianos essentially assign value to the characters, right? So the Steinway, so those who use Steinways are quote unquote good characters or better people, like Glenn and the narrator. Whatever Bossendorf. Wartheimer's
Bosendorfer.
piano essentially meant he was lesser, and then he was really in the shits, I guess, when he was using the, God, what was it called?
Oh, the air whatever. The other
Yeah,
one. The cheapo brand.
the cheapo brand.
The great value.
When he was
Great
using the Great
value.
Value brand, It really was just showing that Wertheimer was in a bad place and he was quote unquote lesser. I think there was assigning
man,
quality of life to the quality of piano.
I actually just looked this up. So Bösendorfer is an Austrian manufacturer and Steinway is like an American German one. Once again, getting to like. Now, plenty of Austrians fucking hated this dude because he's like, oh, you're shitting on Austria.
Well, if you shit on your country, they probably hate you.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Perhaps. You know?
All right.
I think.
Do you have any other points you want to throw out?
Nah, I think time to wrap this one up. It's been a. Feel like it's been like one long rambling session this whole podcast, but you know, I feel like that's appropriate. I feel like that's not unholy.
It matches what was going on.
Yeah, definitely an interesting read. I'll tell you that. I think out of everything we've read, maybe like this or Godot were like the most like out there, like interesting things.
I think stylistically speaking, this is the most intriguing read that we've had as far as the narrative schizophrenia and the stream of consciousness. But if I had to rate it as far as enjoyment, I think I actually enjoyed this book the least because it was kind of, it was hard to follow. And it was very repetitive. And I know people's thoughts are like that, and that makes sense, but it just wasn't an interesting read for, or it wasn't an enjoyable read for me.
Yeah, maybe it's because I had that kind of frame of mind going into the book. I kind of latched on to that idea early on. And so I think, personally, I felt a bit more, not a decent amount of enjoyment out of this. I think this is, really intriguing, very different. Like, I think even this particular copy, translator's notes, like, explains, like, hey, Thomas Bernhard, this dude, you know, Austrian, wrote in German, he's got a very particular style. Like, we have to preempt the weirdness that you're about to partake in. In terms of ranking, I don't know. I have to think about it. I don't think any of the books we've done, I'd say I personally didn't like. So I don't know if I'll...
I guess my main question right for you is this a book you would like to read again?
Like, if I never... read again, like, as I after reading it once? Or
no, like let's just say it's 10 years down the line. You had to pick one of the 5 books that we've read. Would you read this one again?
See, because I feel like rating a book based on its readability, I'm not 100% sure if... That's a good measure for whether or not it's enjoyable. I guess it could be if you want
to. That's fair. I think for
but
enjoy it. Like, I'm not saying it as is this well written. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to say, was this an enjoyable read?
No, yeah, I think I would come back to it. It really is just that it's so unique, and I think maybe after, you know, maybe a couple more years or more life experiences, I can find new things. No, I think I would.
Okay. I'm not sure I share that sentiment, but okay. I respect the opinion.
There you go. Definitely. Like, this is a very unique piece of fiction right here.
And you know what? Like, that doesn't make it a bad work of art or story just because I didn't enjoy it. It's just, you know, in fact, I say... It adds value to the book if you can have 2 different opinions, if not more, based on its enjoyability or just how intriguing it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a piece of work.
Maybe I'm too big of a bonehead to figure it out, but
make you think.
No, I do think it did have some interesting points.
All right, it's time to wrap it up then.
All right, folks. Thoughts. Well, I'm Jeffrey Excellence. And that's Twinkle Toes, a.k.a. Half Shaven Face, a.k.a. Afro Man, a.k.a. Where'd You Get Those Headphones At, a.k.a. Ciscon,
Sister. Come on, don't say that.
Opie. Weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Catch you on the next one.
I guess.